Lord, we love you, Lord, and we want to get closer to you, Father. We want to give up all of this flesh. Help us to get rid of all of the flesh and the world out of us, Lord, and peel it all away from us. And get us where we can hear you all the time. Father, let us be so close to you, Lord, that we know your even your thoughts, Lord, about us. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're doing that for us. Father, I ask for your strong anointing tonight on everybody here and those who are coming on as well, Lord, that it would be a strong anointing and that everything that you want said and done tonight would be done. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for being our God. You're a God that is so good and gracious to us. Your grace and your mercy far exceeds anything that I could ever imagine, Lord. You know, we're up and down a lot, and up and down and up and down. When, Lord, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you get us to where we're just on that straight and that narrow, and we're not going up and down. Nothing bothers us because we know you're in charge, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us into that realm of knowing to where everything in the world has gotten away from. Nothing matters to us, Lord. No, nothing that we have that we call our own is our own anymore, Lord, that we just give it up and don't even think about it, Lord. It's not a possession anymore. And, Father, we just praise you for getting rid of all of this junk out of us. And, Lord, I thank you that we are coming into this great time of miracles upon miracles, and miracles of transportation, and miracles of healing, and miracles of deliverance, and miracles of protection. And, Lord, we just thank you for being with us, and thank you, Lord, for being our God and bringing us along, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us all tonight in this conference call. And just be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Yeah, get my notebook here. All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
I do. I would like everybody to agree with me that my little dog, Jill, won't throw up tonight or have diarrhea. She threw up about four times today and had diarrhea. She's acting fine, so I don't think she's sick, but I just don't want to have to be up all night cleaning it. So, Father, I just ask that you would grant your grace that Jill is totally healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For healing that dog of Marlene. That dog ain't going to throw up now another time in Jesus' name. Going to be able to, eat anything it wants to in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'd just like to pray for a young guy that stopped here the other day. I didn't even realize he was here, and I come out of the house, and he was standing there and seen the van in the yard, and first thing he wanted to know when would work for him to come and talk to us about his insurance plan. And I said, well, I can tell you, we're not interested because we don't have no insurance. And he looked at me and he couldn't believe that. And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, we trust the Lord. And that really kind of opened up. I got to share some things with him, but he was a little jumpy. I could see he didn't know what those things I was saying. He didn't know for sure about them. But anyway, I'd just like to pray for him. Father, we just ask that you would touch the heart of this young man. I don't even know his name, but you know who he is. And just put a desire in him to look into the things that we talked about that's in your word. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this young man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Me.
Okay, Megan, go ahead.
I want prayer for my mom. She had trouble walking. And I heard that the person was trying to take a position. I believe her job is at stake. I also pray for protection of my nephew. He's going to have a shot tomorrow.
Okay. Your mom has walking problems?
Yes. He's borrowed my late grandmother's walker, and I have to help her. And also, we're lacking patience towards each other, so I confess it. Hello?
Hey, Megan, is she a Christian, your mom?
I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I doubt, but she has a issue with unforgiveness.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Megan's mom to you, Lord, and we ask, Father, that you place it in her heart to forgive, Father, and to draw her next to you, Lord, and to grant repentance to her, Father, so that she can be healed. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to do that, and we come against this infirmity that's keeping her from walking like she ought to, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for strength in her legs. That, you know, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, have your grace and your mercy upon Megan's mom and strengthen her. It's a burden to Megan. She's yours, Lord, and she's not under the curse. So, Father, we just thank you that you're going to fix her in Jesus' name. Now, what's this about Matthew?
He's going to have a second round of shots tomorrow. And I don't want to have another reaction.
Okay. All right, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to neutralize any kind of a reaction to whatever it is that they're going to put in him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for there's not going to be any kind of reaction to it, or any kind of allergic reaction to it of any kind. Lord, we just ask you to grant your grace and your mercy on Matthew, Father, that it ain't going to hurt him at all. He's going to come out of there smiling like he's supposed to, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for putting your hedge of protection around him in the name of Jesus. Is this for school?
No, he's a baby. He's 4 months old.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, Lord, we thank you that Matthew's going to come out of all right, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, in Megan's family. Father, we just thank you that everybody around her, Lord, you're working in their lives because Megan's prayers are being answered. Sometimes, Lord, it don't look like it to us. But, Father, we don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm. But we know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we're going to have it. And I thank you that Matthew's going to be okay and her mom's going to be okay. And she's going to be brought into the kingdom because she's been praying for her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
Amen. Me too. All right, anybody else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Michael?
Yeah, Judy?
Okay, I got a praise report.
Let's hear it, girl.
Okay. We took Charlie and Linda to get their truck yesterday in what was a place north of Cleveland, almost to Chattanooga. And it was at the Toyota dealer. So I put a couple books in there at the Toyota dealership, Sovereign God books. And then there was an Alexis dealership right beside it. So I thought, well, I think better go take one there too. So I took one over to that. And this gentleman named Greg that worked in the Alexis place was in there where the people sat. And he said, Sovereign God, oh gosh, I got to read that book because I go to a meeting that's called Sovereign God. once a month. So he was a real nice guy, real nice salesman. And we talked a little bit and stuff. And then I said, well, I'll bring another book down here for the dealership, and you just take this book. Well, I didn't have another book, so I had to take a different book. But then Charlie went with me, and we talked to him a little bit more, and he's going to get some more books. Charlie's going to get some more books to give to him in a couple of days when he goes back down. They have to get another car. And so this guy was just so awesome. I mean, he was just really for the Lord, and you could just, he was just, it was just so neat. I mean, I was just flying high just talking to him because he was so, such a neat guy, and he was really interested in reading it and really wanting more knowledge and stuff. And so I just praise the Lord that he gets the information that he needs out of these books that we're going to give him. And maybe he'll even come to one of our pot blessings. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, so, that thank would. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Lord.
So thank you, Lord. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, that's going to touch hundreds. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Testimony or praise report? I would like to sing a song. I've been reading one of the old masters. And I'm going to throw something out there to you and see if you can help me out with it. Let's talk about it and see what he's talking about there. So listen up and listen carefully. This is apparently a dialogue between Jesus and a disciple, one of his disciples. The disciple said to the master, Jesus being called the master, he said, Master, how may I come to the supersensual life so that I may see God and hear God speak? Y'all get that? How can I come to the supersensual? He's talking about the supernatural life, the supernatural way of hearing in the spirit and seeing in the spirit. And the master answered and says, when you can throw yourself into that where no creature dwells, if only for a moment, then you will hear God speak. The disciple said, is that place where no creature dwells near at hand, or is it far off? The master said, it is in you. And if you can, for a time, cease from all your own thinking and willing, then you will hear the unspeakable words of God. Disciple, how can I hear him speak when I stand still from thinking and willing? Master, when you stand still from the thinking of self and the willing of self, when both your intellect and will are quiet and passive to the expressions of the eternal word and spirit, and when your soul is winged up and above that which is temporal, the outward senses and the imagination being locked up wholly, abstraction, then the eternal hearing, seeing, and speaking will be revealed in you. And so God hears and sees through you, being now the organ of his spirit. And so God speaks in you and whispers to your spirit, and your spirit hears his voice. Blessed are you, therefore, if you can stand still from self-thinking and self-willing, and can stop the wheel of your imagination and senses. For thus you may arrive at length to see the great salvation of God being made capable of all manner of divine sensations and heavenly communications. Since it is nothing but your own hearing and willing that hinder you, so that you do not see and hear God. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second. I'm going to ask you, what do you think the master's talking about here? That one at a time. Now, don't everybody jump in there at one time. Well, I'll tell you what I think, and that way maybe it'll help some of you. Okay. He said, the master says, when you stand still from the thinking of self, well, we got to get rid of self, don't we? Self's got to go. We've been taught that. The flesh and the world have to go. And that's what he's talking about here, I believe. In order for us to be able to hear in the spirit and for us to see in the spirit, self has to go and the spirit man has to come alive, doesn't it? And then when self goes and the world goes away from us and it's all been set aside, so to speak, we've overcome the flesh and we've overcome the world. Then he says, when your soul is winged up and above that which is temporal, the outward senses and the imagination being locked up by the holy abstraction, then the eternal hearing and seeing. In other words, when yourself and the world are no longer running you, you're running that your spirit man is running it. That's what he's talking about here. Will be revealed in you, and so God hears and sees through you, being now the organ of His spirit. And so God speaks in you, whispers in your spirit, and your spirit hears His voice. He said, "And blessed are you, therefore, if you can stand still from self-thinking and self-willing and can stop the wheel of your imagination and senses, for thus you may arrive at length to see the great salvation of God, being made capable of all manner of divine sensation and heavenly communication." Then he gives us a reason why that we can't do that. He said, since it's nothing but your own hearing and willing. When he's talking about hearing, our own hearing, he's talking about the flesh that's talking to our self-will. He's talking about, I believe, that hinders you so that you do not see and hear God. And it's kind of an inner self picture to me of how God works in us. He says, the disciple ever some more there, and he went through a little bit more, but here, I'm going to get down to where I really wanted to come to. He said, but since I am in nature and bound with my own chains and by my own natural will, he's talking about self, be so kind as to tell me how I may come through nature, the world, into the supersensual and supernatural ground without destroying nature. The master says three things are requisite in order to do this. The first is you must surrender up your will to God and must sink yourself down to the dust in His mercy. The second is you must hate your own will and forbear from doing that to which your own will drives you. The third is you must bow your soul under the cross, heartily submitting yourself to it, that you may be able to bear the temptations of nature and creature. Well, nature and creature is the world and yourself, the flesh. And if you do thus, God will speak into you and will bring your surrendered will into Himself in the supernatural ground. And then you shall hear what the Lord speaks in you. I thought that was pretty neat. Pretty neat way of putting it. And this guy gets really, really deep into how to get all of this done. Most what we do mostly, and you've heard heard teachings of David, is to renew our mind with the Word. Keep our mind focused on the Word of God. And when you do that, then self-life goes, the world goes, nothing else matters but Jesus, you know. That's the essence of this whole dissertation that this guy had about the supersensual life. Anybody got any comments on that?
Just, I think it would be so wonderful to be able to attain to that.
Amen. Well, I believe it can be attained. It's the whether or not, how much do we want the Lord, you know? What's most important to us? And I say that because, you know, we have our day-to-day things that are important to us. It's when those day-to-day things are no longer important to us that the only thing that is important to us is Jesus and waking up early in the morning and getting in his presence and allowing him to work through us and allowing him to lead us and guide us in the day, during the day, with all of our work that we have to do. You can still have a job. You can still have the things that you want to do and be in the rest of God. And the way to do that is to renew your mind with the Word of God. Understand what Jesus wants out of us. He wants our faith. He wants our praises. He wants us to commune with Him. And He wants us to learn about Him and to give it all. He wants us to lay everything in front, to get it all out of us. Lay it all on the altar. Put everything on the altar and just believe that God's going to fix it. And then just listen for God. Get rid. That's, I've talked before about your prayer life in the mornings. And I'm still struggling with this, okay? I haven't arrived by any stretch of the imagination. But this is something I'm striving for, okay? I want to get into that place every morning to where I can be quiet and Michael can go out of the way. Myself can get out of the way. My flesh can get out of the way. The world can get out of the way. The wheels of my imagination can be stilled. And I can listen to God. That's the place I'm striving for, is to get into that area right there. I don't know if some of you, I know some of you remember Tom Kruger and when he broke his back and went through all of that mess he went through, but the mess that he went through was a good thing because it got him closer to God, and he would tell us about getting into that place, stealing his mind. Stealing it, S-T-I-L-L-I-N-G, stealing his mind to only think about Jesus, to only focus on Jesus. And what he told me was strange. He said when he first went to heaven and came back, and I think he had a traumatic experience, you know, and went up there to heaven and came back. From that point on until he started his when you start restoring your strength, they call that something. They put you through
rehabilitation.
What's that?
Rehabilitation?
Yeah, rehab. Yeah. Yeah. And he said before he started rehab, all he had to do was lie in that bed. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. So he was able to still his mind and go back to heaven many times, go back into the spiritual realm many times because he could. He could still that wheel of imagination. He knew how it was to get into the spirit realm so easily. But then the rehab parts came up, and he started having to get up and work on muscles and things like that. And he said he lost that ability to just slide into the spiritual realm because he didn't have the time. He lost the time to do that. And he said after a while it would take him, hours to get back into that realm of the spiritual walk that he had. And he said when he finally realized what he was doing, he got back into that, and he couldn't wait to get back to where he could get back into the spirit realm, and the Lord would just take him places, you know, in the spirit realm, and show him things and tell him things and talk to him and take him across the waters, you know, take him over into Middle East and places like that. He told us, me and Greg and Belinda and I don't remember who all went down there. We went down to Florida and we met him down there. But he told us, just wherever the Lord wanted to take him, that's where he'd go. He took him into the Middle East one time and he saw a little battle with the rebels, the Muslim rebels come up on his Christian town, and they couldn't attack it because the forces of God were there protecting that town. It's just awesome, you know, the things that God showed him. But the point I'm getting at, he said, once he got out of that getting in the spirit realm, it would take him hours to get back into it. And it would take days before he could get back into where it would just take him 2 hours to get in there. You know, we think we're doing God a service when we drop down 5 minutes and give God a little old token prayer and then go on about our day's work. God wants more than that from us. He wants our whole life. He wants our whole being. He wants our whole everything in us to be devoted to him and to leave it, you know. And I know and I understand that we're all in this walk together and we're at a different places. But this is what we ought to be striving for, is to get into that place where we can hear God talk to us all the time. Where we, the spirit man in us, is leading the fleshly man, the body. And that's where God wants us. And to do that, according, you know, what we've read in the Word of God, is to get rid of self and to get rid of the world. And that's the place I'm striving for, is to pray and ask God and to seek God with all my heart and want to be able to listen to God and hear him for every little thing, you know. Because this time ahead, we're going to need it. We're really going to need to understand how God talks to us. I know some of y'all have already attained to that, and I'd like to hear from you. Really. Or if somebody's got any questions about it. Well, come on, y'all. Y'all help me out here. This is not a Michael show. I want to hear from you. What about this spiritual life?
I agree with you, Michael. I have to confess I'm not there yet, but I do strive towards it. And sure, by God's grace, I'll get there.
Amen. If we're striving for it and we're running for it with all our heart, that's all God wants. That's all he wants. How long did it take Abraham to be called a righteous man? You know, he had to go through some trials and stuff. David had to go through some trials and stuff. King David. You know, Moses had to go through it for 40 years out there in his tribulation. And then he went out there and led that bunch of murmuring Israelites out in the desert another 40 years. So, I don't know. All right, y'all. Come on, talk to me.
Michael?
Yeah,
This is Judy. Is there any way you could get a hold of Tom and maybe get another call from him? You know, I'd be cool to hear how he's doing now.
Well, I don't have any way of, you know, Tim was the one that did all that. I don't have his number.
Okay.
Yeah, to get him. I'd love to get him. I'd love to call and talk to him, but I don't have his number.
Oh, okay. I understand. I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah. Just thinking.
I'd love to get him. I'd love to get him back on, but I don't have his number.
Okay, that's just what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting fellow, Tom. He was all about Jesus. Now, he wasn't where we are as far as teachings and doctrine and that kind of stuff, but boy, he was getting there close with the praying and the praising God and getting in the spirit realm. He could do that pretty quick, you know. I want to do both. I want to know the truth, and I want to know how to listen to the Lord all the time. You know, sometimes God's got to scream at us in order to get our attention. I want to be able to listen to his whisper. What about it, Kurt?
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Okay.
I agree with you. I'd like to get to that place, too.
Amen. What about you, David?
Well, I was thinking about Tom. I know that he was in heaven for a short time, and he had that deeply experienced spirit from the heavenly realm. And after that point, when he talked about being able to pray and get into that higher level of, you know, the atmosphere of heaven, he could actually hear the angels and hear conversations. He could even sometimes hear the singing still. So that's definitely a unique place to be. I don't know if you have to die first to come back and be able to experience that. I know even the Apostle Paul talked about when he said he knew a man. Well, he was talking about himself probably when he got stoned one time when he was preaching. I can't remember where, but he got stoned and they carried him outside the city. And he revived, but during that time he talked about caught up in the third heaven and hearing things he didn't feel right to justify to even try to say what he heard. So I think when you walk into that spiritual realm at that level, I don't think we have an ability to understand that until we've been there. We can try to pray and get close to the Lord, and maybe, I think, you know, David Ells has talked about having dreams and, you know, seeing Jesus and taking around heaven a little bit, talking to the Father. But I don't think everybody has that experience right away. It's not that we can't. I'm not trying to say we can't. I'm not trying to isolate and say somebody's special and somebody's not. But I could see where, because Tom had that experience of death and went to heaven and seeing heaven and got to experience things that many of us haven't. I mean, Bill was a good witness for us all, too, that he did that, you know, because he came back and encouraged everybody, you know, that, you know, what we're desiring and seeking after is real. It's true. To get to that level, no, I have never. I mean, I've had the experiences like everybody else, you know, you pray and or you've had the intuition or you feel like you've touched God and he's you know, he's moved in your life a little bit. But to get to that point where I'm hearing angels talk and I can hear the music and be translated, you know, around, oh wow, you know, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see what all transpires here when we get that second Latter-day rain, you know, the latter rain. I'm not sure what all that will do for us. I don't know. I you know, I can't really speak by experience. I'm just going by what other people have said too.
Amen. Yeah. You know, we've all heard snippets from God. We had the knowing. I've seen angels and I've seen demons and that kind of thing. I want to see Jesus. That's what I want to see. I want to see Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus. I want to sit down and talk with him. And I want to, you know, just tell him how much that I appreciate what he's done for me after me, you know, running wild for 50 years. And then finally coming in, and he still had the grace and the mercy to draw me in, you know. So Yeah, I want to be into that. I want to be in that spiritual realm all the time. I had a guy come up to me, this has been years and years ago, and he said, man, he said, you got to meet this guy. He said, this guy, he walks in the spirit realm, and he's talking to angels all the time. I said, that guy's nuts. I didn't know any better, you know. I said, he's doing what? He said, he's talking to angels all the time. He said, he'll be sitting there eating dinner, and he'll go up, and he'll turn his head, and he'll ask them what they said, and then he'll get an answer, and he'll be talking, you know, carrying on a conversation with an angel while people are sitting there watching him. So I don't know. You know, that's good. That's awesome. But I think that's more in the, it's going to be more of a spiritual thing. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I've tried to carry on conversations with angels that I thought were around me, but I never could get one of them to answer me. I will tell you this. I saw many years ago in Arkansas, up in the hills, up in the mountains, we were at this guy's house, and it was a double wide trailer, and it was up on top of a mountain, and he had a deck out the back of his house, a fairly large deck, and in his yard, in the back of his yard, there were great big boulders, limestone boulders out there, and we were praising God in there, and I looked out the door. I was facing the back door, and I looked out the back door, and I saw angels out there in the backyard. They were just milling around out there in the yard, and I just walked out there. And when I did, I had a vision of all the angels right straight out in front of me over this valley. They were quite a ways up in the air, and it was warrior angels, and they were getting ready to mount up. They hadn't mounted up on their horses yet, but they had all their battle gear on, and they were fixing to mount up. And years later, I saw them again in a vision that they were mounted up, and they were fixing to take off and do battle, you know. So that's been some of my experiences with things. We saw them over at Sweetwater one time at the boarding house. We were praying one morning. I saw them two or three times over there. We were praying one morning, and one evening, and the Lord showed me, we had a fellowship, what it was. The Lord showed me that these angels were there, but they didn't have any jobs to do because we weren't praying enough. There was nothing for them to do. And they were just milling about in the house there. And I said, Lord, what is this? And then, I don't know, it was probably three or four days later, we had decided to start having prayer meetings. And we'd have prayer meetings, and we would pray in the spirit for a while, for whatever reason. And then that's when the vision came again, and I saw these angels flying around about peach tree high out there. There was a little peach tree out the back porch, and they were flying about that high. And then when we started praying in the spirit, they all came down and crowded up in front of the porch, and directly I'd see one fly off, and then another one fly off, and then another one would fly off. And what the Lord was telling me is that when you pray, that the angels go to work. They have something to do then. And that was a real lesson for me, how important it is for our prayer life. God uses us as tools for his kingdom, for his spiritual kingdom, for the rest of the world, you know. We don't know what you pray when you're praying in the spirit, but you know, I'll tell you one thing, it's a perfect prayer, and God answers those prayers every time we pray. And those angels are taking off, and they're going somewhere in the world to take care of business, or somewhere next door, I don't know, you know, wherever they go. But it's the prayer life of the saints. That's the spiritual warfare that God's looking for in each one of us. And when we fail to do that, then we've let God down in that area. That's why prayer is so important in a Christian's life. That prayer life that we have saves lives. It brings people into the kingdom. I don't know exactly what all it does, but I'm telling you, it is an awesome, powerful thing, a tool that God has for us to use. And when we neglect to use it, it's costing people. So that's why we always try to stress to be praying in the Spirit for everybody. When you pray for people on this conference call, those angels are going around those people. When we pray here for people, those angels go to them and they start ministering to them immediately. You can't see in the spirit realm, and you don't know what's going on out there when we pray. I just believe that when we pray, God's answering it right then. And I don't quit believing it either. I hang on to it, and I rest. I know God's doing it, so I don't worry about it. It doesn't come up again unless somebody brings it up. And I said, well, we'll just pray again then. We'll just pray and believe God, or we'll just thank God because we've already prayed the prayer of faith. All we do now is just thank Him for taking care of business. And that's why God stresses prayer. If you look at it, He taught us how to pray. That's just a model prayer. That's one that we need to expand on. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When He's saying hallowed be thy name, give God the glory. He is a holy God. He is a God that is holy, and He deserves our praises and our worship with Him. And He wants us to start out our prayers in that respect, to praise Him and tell Him how much we love Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And so if we want it done on earth just like it is in heaven, we have to walk in Jesus' footsteps, don't we? And we need to be praying constantly. Jesus prayed constantly. They'd always find Him out there in the desert somewhere praying. He'd praying all night long, all the time. He was praying all the time. And He's the model that we should be after. The praying part is essential to building God's kingdom. That's what He uses. He uses people's prayer. That's how revival started. True revival started in the past, from praying people. That's how they started. That's why we stress, pray for this revival that's coming. Pray for it and ask God to bring it on. You know, bring the fire of the Holy Ghost in here and set people on fire, and it will send the fire through them out into the streets and across the world. And I believe that. One of the great evangelists, I believe it was D.L. Moody, he had a guy praying for him, his meetings, called Father Nash. And Father Nash would go into a place where they were going to have meetings. And he would go a week or two early, and he would pray, and he'd intercede for the whole town. And that was the success of Moody's evangelistic career, was Father Nash's praying, the people he had praying for these meetings. Up in, I believe it was Rochester, New York, over 100,000 people were brought to Christ in a set of meetings he had up there, and it was because of Father Nash. He went up there a couple of weeks early, or maybe 3 weeks early, got him an apartment or a boarding house room, and just sat in there and interceded the whole time. Didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't drink or nothing. They could hear him in there wailing and travailing over this town, over this city. Over 100,000 people were saved. And they went back 10 years later, and they found out that 75% of the ones that came to Christ were still running after the Lord. That is true revival right there. Then you talk about the Hebrides over in off the coast of Scotland in the Hebrides Islands. They had back in 1949, they had a revival there, and it was because of people's praying. They got tired of watching their towns just go to waste because of drink and carousing and all the rowdiness and stuff. And then this group of Christians started, and kids too, they started praying for revival. Two old ladies, one was half blind, the other one couldn't hardly walk, were praying for this revival, praying for it. And finally it happened. It broke out. Broke out one night. And they had called Duncan Campbell to come and have meetings there. The Lord told him to call Duncan Campbell. And he could. There was no way that he could make it because of his schedule. But the ladies kept telling him, no, he's going to be here. He's going to be here. God said, you know. And sure enough, he showed up. But the revival had already started. He didn't have anything to do with it. It was God and him alone. You know, people would just fall down and start repenting. Lord, is there any mercy for me? Lord, is there any mercy for me? You know, that kind of stuff. Lord, help me. Lord, save this old sinner. And they just cry out. They drop down the middle of the streets out there and start hollering to God. There was a dance going on one night, a bunch of kids and college kids and high school kids all together. And one young man went in there and started praying. And before it was over, every one of the children, those young adults, had gone down to the police station because they knew that the policeman down there, the chief of police down there, was a Christian. He was a good Christian man. And that's the only one they knew. And he went down there. And he didn't, you know, he was just a lay person. But he was a praying man. And Duncan Campbell had already been there a day or so. And he called him. He got a hold of him. And he came down there, and Duncan Campbell said they was in the church. They'd all gone over to the church house. He said they was about 600 people there. And this is 12 o'clock at night. That's true revival. And they went till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning praying for people. And nobody wanted to leave then. But they had to get ready to go to work. And they went to work. And then they come back the next night. Then the next night. And then the next night. Because of praying people. People were praying. That was in the Hebrides. It happened the same way at Azusa Street in 1906. There was a bunch of old ladies that was praying in Los Angeles for revival. And the Lord told William Seymour, I want you to go to Los Angeles. He'd never been out there. This is a one-eyed black man. And he went out there, and the Lord told him, said, you go down there, and I want you to go on this street, and this street, and this street here. And there's two white women in there. I want you to go up there and tell them that the Lord sent you there for revival. And he did. He was faithful. Now, after dark in Los Angeles, back in those days, black people weren't allowed in that part of the city. But he was obeying God, so he knew that he wasn't going to be in no trouble. So he went up to this affluent. These were affluent people. Went up to their door, banged on the door. I don't know, it was late in the night. And these two women had had a Bible study that night. And they came to the door, and he told them, he said, my name is William Seymour. Lord told me to come here, and we're going to have revival. And they brought him in, they fed him, and they had started having meetings in that house there. And before you know it, it grew so big. God was doing so many miracles there. People from all over the city were coming there. The neighbors were getting irate because they couldn't get up and down the streets. Too many people out there, the noise. And they made a move. They made them go to Azusa Street. They found that old warehouse kind of a building that used to be a church at one time. Then it was turned into a stable and then some kind of warehouse. And they just went in there and got coke boxes and planks and set them up on there. And that's when they had church. And you know what was interesting about that? Azusa Street. I'm sure most of you have heard about Azusa Street, all the great miracles that happened during that revival. But here's the interesting thing. When Seymour would come down to preach, he might, you know, it might be, he'd come down, he'd put a box on his head. He'd put a fruit box on his head. And he might sit there 15 minutes with it on his head. He might sit there an hour with it on his head. But he knew that's what God told him to do. And he did that for 3 years. And I'll tell you something. They finally talked him out of putting that on. And when they did, the glory left because he quit doing what God had told him to do. It wasn't about William Seymour. It was about Jesus. And that's what Jesus wanted him to know. It's not about you. It's about me. And when he did that, he acceded to the people's demands that he not come down there. Because, you know, it don't look good with the preacher coming down with a box on his head, for goodness sake. Well, God was just showing how humble the man was. And he was. He was a humble man. He was a praying man, too. Many miracles that man saw. Many miracles that God did through him. And y'all can go on the internet and see the miracles. Arms growing out, and legs growing out, and people raised from the dead, and from all kinds of sicknesses and things. But it was brought about through prayer. God wants his people to pray. Don't have a prayerless life. You're not any good to the kingdom if you don't have a prayerful life. If you're not praying, you're not in the kingdom. You're not doing the work of the kingdom. That is an essential part of the Christian walk, is praying and believing that when you pray, something's going to happen. Prayer and faith go together. If you don't have, if you're not believing what you pray, why pray? So we pray and we believe. You know what goes along with that faith? Is trust. Faith and trust go together. They work the same way. If you're praying and you're trusting God to answer your prayer, that's faith. You know that God's going to answer it. And you're trusting God to carry it through. And he'll do it too. I guarantee you he'll do it. Prayer and faith and believe in God. That's what he wants. He wants out of every one of us. There's unlimited possibilities of prayer. Listen to this little poem here by E.M. Bounds. He says, "If pain afflict or wrongs oppress, if cares distract or fears dismay, if guilt deject or sin distress, in every case still watch and pray." Praise God. That's a good one right there. Has anybody got any comments on prayer life, our prayer life? Would like to share some or questions or whatever?
Michael, throughout the day, I give my mother just a little 4-ounce glass of Pedialyte. And I hand it to her, and I say, "Drink it down." Well, she just sits there holding it in the air. So I have to say, "Take a drink, take a drink." And often I will ask the Lord to send his angels. I get kind of weary saying, "Take a drink, take a drink." So I'll just ask the Lord to send his angels to lift up her arms and put it to her mouth. And so very often, that's exactly what happens. I praise the Lord. I give him all the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Praise God. Anybody else?
I have another one. Many years ago, shortly after I became born again, and I was laying in bed watching TV, and I was sort of half awake and half asleep, but I know I didn't dream this, but I looked up at the TV screen. I saw the words, and I heard them out loud. It said, there's power in the name of Jesus. And, I mean, I know I didn't dream that. I know I actually kind of looked up at the TV, and I saw those words, and it wasn't, I mean, it was a vision from the Lord because it wasn't what was really on TV at the time. But I've, you know, always remember that, and if I'm, sometimes I have to remind the Lord, and say, Lord, remember you told me there's power in the name of Jesus. So I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Anybody else? You know, prayer is absolutely dependent upon our faith. And that's what starts our prayers to work, is faith. It clears the way to God. And it gives assurance that God's listening. Faith opens the way for our prayers to get to God. I remember that time that Marilyn Oliver, the doctors had told her that she had 6 weeks to live. She had a weird, rare disease that was going to take her life in 6 weeks. And her husband called me and said, can you pray? The Lord told me to call you and ask you to pray for my wife. Now, you have to understand that Buddy didn't like me at the time. But he called me because the Lord told him to. And he was fearful for his wife. And so that brings good relationships, is when the Lord tells you to do something and you're obedient. But anyway, he called me and I said, okay. And I what I did was call a prayer group. It was a little lady, Miss Laura. I called her and I said, we need to pray for Marilyn. I said, she has this and they've only given her 6 weeks to live. And she said, well, I'll get right on it. And she called all of her buddies and they went to praying and I went to praying. And I don't remember if it was that later on that afternoon or the next day. I really don't remember. But I got a call from Buddy. He said, you won't believe this. I said, what's that? He said, I'm in the waiting room here at the hospital, but I'm in heaven, and I see God. I see the Lord on his throne. I'm walking up behind him. He's telling me this. He's experiencing this as we're talking on the phone. I said, let me get out to the parking lot so I won't distract somebody. So I went out into the parking lot where I was working, and he described it. He said, I'm walking up behind the Lord. He said, I see these lights coming up. He's looking down at earth. He says, I see these lights coming up. I don't know what they are. He said, wait a minute. They look like little neon roses or something like that. He said, I guess that's what they are, little neon roses or something. He said, there's a bunch of them coming up. And he said, the Lord is smiling. He's bending over and he's looking down and he's trying to catch them with his hands, or he's catching them with his hand. He said, wait a minute. Those aren't roses. He said, that's Marilyn's name on them in neon. He said, it looks like a light. It says Maryland on them. I said, that's the prayers of the saints, brother. And he said, oh, my Lord. He said, the Lord is smiling. He's capturing all of these things. And, of course, Buddy, he's just getting all excited. And he said, I can see the Lord smiling, and I'm standing behind him. He said, how can I do that? I said, I don't know. You're up there. It ain't me. Go on, tell me. So he stayed up there, I don't know, it probably 15 minutes, describing the sights and the things that he saw. But the most important thing was that the prayers of the saints were coming up, and she walked out of that hospital in 2 or 3 days because of the prayers of the saints. That's how important our prayers are. She walked out of there. They couldn't, scratching their heads. They didn't know what happened. But that's the prayers of the saints. That's the prayers. That's why it's very important that we pray with faith and not just because somebody asked us to pray. We pray with faith. We believe that when we pray, our prayers are going to be answered. Faith opens the way for prayer to approach God. And faith makes prayer strong, and it gives it patience to wait on God. And faith believes that God, praise God, because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith rests his case on diligent, persevering prayer. Praise God. Faith and prayer are inseparable. And when you pray, that hinders any kind of an effective prayer. And that's forbidden. It's an enemy to faith, and it hinders effective praying. And that's why prayer and trust go together. Trust is faith that's become absolute, confirmed, and completed. And trust is firm belief. It's faith in full flower, full fruit. That's what trust is. It's faith in full fruit. And it's a conscious act. It's something that we ask the Lord when we pray that our prayers are going to be answered. We rely on that. And it's more than a feeling, too. We just know. It's a knowing. And our trust actually grows through our prayer life. We keep believing. We see. How many prayers have we seen answered just here in the fellowship? Many. Many. Many times they've been, our prayers were answered right here. The Lord told one of the sisters here, I believe it was last week, that we have an open window to heaven. And by that, we have an open window to heaven means that our prayers are going to be answered. There's nothing hindering. The devil cannot get in there. The only way the devil can intercept our prayers is if we're in sin. We're in willful sin. That's the only way. We have to have a desire, not just a simple wish. It's got to be a deep-seated, intense longing to have your prayers answered and knowing that they're going to be answered. Do you have a burning desire? Do you get to that point in your prayer life where there's a burning desire to commune with God? That's what He wants. And I ask, Lord, that you open up the fire of our holy desire to pray and to be aggressive in our prayer life, to be on the offensive in our prayer life, and to pray in the Spirit more and more, Lord, because we know, even when we work, Lord, we can do that. We can do it in our mind. We can do it in our mouth silently. When we can pray at all times, nothing should hinder our prayer life. And that prayer life, Lord, I pray that everybody here, when they pray, is on fire for you. Praise God. Has anybody got any comments on what we're talking about prayer life? I feel like it's one of the most important things in our Christian walk.
Yeah, I'm being convicted that my prayer life is not where it needs to be.
Amen. Me too. Chris, I've been under conviction here for many weeks now, and I've upped the ante a little in my prayer life, a lot in my prayer life now. I used to do it all the time. And, you know, we get caught up in day-to-day things and, oh, this is, you know, I need to get this done. No, you don't. You don't got to do nothing but pray. You can do that while you're doing that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There's so many distractions, and they're subtle, and they're very they just move in and take over.
Amen. Somebody else was talking too a while ago.
Yeah, Michael, could you send out on the email to everybody that conversation between the disciple and the master?
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I could do that. It's kind of short. I can do that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, there ain't nothing that distinguishes a child of God as clearly and strongly as their prayer life. That prayer life has to be habitual. It has to be a habit that we form. It's something that you desire to do every day. I have to wake up sometime 4 o'clock in the morning to get some prayer time in. But I do it because I know it's necessary, and I'm wanting to get closer to God. And that's why I do it. Sometimes I don't get to bed before 12 or 1 o'clock, but I get up and have my prayer life. And I just started that. Don't get me wrong. It's not something that's just been going on constantly. Over the years, I've done it, but not in a habitual way. I'm trying to do it every day now to get my prayer life in for God and asking God. This is something we all ought to do, is asking God just to lead me all day long and to talk with me all day. Lead me in the way that you want me to go, and to guard my lips to say only those things that he wants me to say. Remember the parable of of that persistent widow? It's in, let me see here.
Luke 18.
Yeah, Luke 18, 1 through 8. Thanks. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he beat long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. And that parable right there, it stresses the central truth of persistent prayer. Thanking God for those prayers that you've been asking him. Bring it up to him again. Lord, you know, I prayed this prayer yesterday and the day before, and I'm bringing it up to you again. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer this for me. You know, that's what I do. I just thank you that you're going to answer. Bringing it up to him. Father, I thank you. You're going to do this. And you'll see results pretty quick, I believe. All right, anybody else want to talk? Let's talk about prayer tonight. Y'all help me out here.
The scriptures say that we're to pray without ceasing, and I think we need to see that as a command that we're expected to obey. And if we're not obeying that, then we're living in disobedience.
Absolutely. I believe it. If you're not praying like you ought to, then that's what you need to take up and start doing. General Charles James Gordon, the hero of Khartoum, was a truly Christian soldier. Shut up in the Sudanese town, he gallantly held out for 1 year, but finally was overcome and slain. On his morale, in Westminster Abbey are these words. He gave his money to the poor, his sympathy to the sorrowing, his life to his country, and his soul to God. Amen. Anybody else? You know what grows churches? Somebody ask Youngie Cho over in Korea, what was the success of his church? Why was he so successful with his church? And this other preacher asked, he said, how come I'm not as successful as you are? He said, I've got this amount of education and this amount of education. He said, you're just growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm just stagnant. And he said, how much do you pray a day? And the guy said, well, I pray about 30 minutes. He said, that's the problem. He said, I pray anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a day. See what God's telling us here? Prayer brings results. Prayer brings happenings into the spiritual realm. And I'll tell you something else prayer does. Prayer produces cleanliness of heart and purity of life. Because prayer and sinning ain't going to keep company with each other. If you can get people to pray, they're going to quit sinning, I guarantee you. Or you're praying out of a clean heart. Get right with God. You'll see your prayers answered. What is obedience? Anybody tell me what obedience is? I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Obedience is doing God's will. That's keeping his commandments. Keeping how many of the commandments constitutes obedience. And keeping half of them and breaking the other half is not obedience. Keeping all but one is not obedience. What James say? He said, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all of them. The spirit that prompts a person to break one commandment is the spirit that may move that person to break them all. God's commandments are a unit. And to break one strikes at the principle that underlies and runs through the whole. Boy, truer words never spoken. The person who does not hesitate to break a single commandment would more than likely, under the same stress and surrounded by the same circumstances, break them all. Somebody else gonna have to talk. Universal obedience of every human being is demanded. Nothing short of unquestioning obedience, while keeping of all his commandments, is the demonstration of it that God requires. Now, when we're talking about keeping God's commandments, what it means is this. We're doing everything that we know to do to walk this righteous life that God's got us on. And we're not sinning. We're not going against what we already know. That's where the sin comes in. If you walk a righteous life, your prayers are going to be answered. Ain't no doubt. Because God said.
You're Michael?
Yes.
Yes. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, I would like to pray for God to help me to pray more. So, Lord, I know that I don't pray enough or long enough, and praying in the Spirit long enough either. And, Lord, I'm just asking you to give me obedience and give me the desire to want to pray more and to do it. So, Lord, I'm thanking you that you're going to give me this, and I praise you for giving me all that you've already given me. And I know that I want to do it, but I have to really have a desire to do it. So, Lord, thank you for doing that for me. And I ask that for everybody else that wants that desire to pray more. So thank you, Lord, so much for everything. And I give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen. Me too, Lord. I want more. Thank you, Father, for everybody here. So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. So let our works and virtues sign to prove the doctrine all divine. Thus shall we best proclaim abroad the honors of our Savior God, when the salvation reigns within and grace subdues the power of sin. Amen. Well, all right. Anything else about prayer you want to talk about?
Hello, Michael.
Yes, Gaynold.
This is Gaynold. I just wanted to share. It just, for me, it's happened a few times. Not that it happens real often, but it is really a blessing when it does. You know, if I'm really earnestly praying for something or about something, and it just seems like the Lord Himself just speaks audibly with an answer or with a verse. I can just read a verse and it sounds like He is absolutely speaking that to me. And I think I shared a couple weeks ago when I was believing for a healing and I opened the Bible up for just a word by random, a verse, and it was one that spoke of healing, you know, and this is your healing. And it was just as though He spoke that to me. And that happened again last night. I was, you know, praying over something, another issue, and then I wasn't able to sleep. And the verse, I mean, the whole thing really had nothing to do with what I was praying about. But the phrase that my finger was on, it just kind of blew me away because it said, "This is the rest. Give ye rest to him that is weary, and this is the refreshing." Anyway, the phrase just could not have fit, you know, where I was in prayer at that time. It just fit so perfectly, and it was just as though He spoke it personally to me, and it was through His Word. And this has happened a few other times, but that just really stands out to me, that He is listening. He hears our prayers. He knows our heart. And, you know, it is His desire that we pray earnestly every day. And I just think, you know, those times, there's just times when He knows that if our heart is really desiring to hear His voice, and He's there to speak to us. And that's what I wanted to share, because I have felt that, and it is truly a blessing. And, prayer is an awesome experience with the Lord, really. It's that relationship of talking to Him and then hearing Him answer is awesome. And that was all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And you know, something else is when you pray, sometimes when I pray, this has happened a few times, when I pray about somebody or something, There is a knowing that prayer is answered.
Right, and there's just something about that feeling that, oh goodness, you just don't forget that. It's just such I don't know. You just there's nothing you would debate on that point. It's like I know it's answered. Yeah.
Amen.
It's an awesome Lord.
Yes, He is. He is. You know, and He gives us that assurance in those instances, and we know, you know, it's going to happen.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
I gave this praise report yesterday or this morning, I'm not sure. But could I give it again?
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
I get a Social Security check on the 24th of the third week of the month or whatever. Anyway, I had gone to get it, and I had it put in one of the little envelopes they have there, you know, on the counter. It was $650. And we were also called to help a lady move in that had just come in from North Carolina, I believe it was, to move here, and she moved in an apartment on the ground floor. But I had slipped this envelope. I folded it in half and stuck it in my left pocket, which I shouldn't have done because that pocket had really been almost sewn up, because it was only maybe about a couple of 3 inches that you could, useful. At any rate, I stuck that envelope in that side pocket on the left side, and we were probably moving stuff in and out of this apartment for probably 4 hours. I mean, it was just a long time. It was really hot. We were all over the place. I was all over the place, and even across the parking lot into the garage. And anyway, I got finished and came home, and Jeff had drove my truck, and I sat on the right side. If it were going to come out with me sitting like that, it should have come out in the seat, you know, where I was sitting on the right side. At any rate, I come home, and probably, I don't know, I'd been here maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and I stuck my hand in my pocket on the left side, and nothing was there. And boy, I panicked, and I was going to go out and look into the truck, and so I just asked Darvin real quickly, who was standing in the kitchen. I said, "Would you just agree with me in prayer?" And so I prayed that. I said, "Well, you know, Lord, this is my Social Security check. I'm going to have it for the rent and utilities and my share of whatever, you know." And that's all I said. And Darvin agreed with me. I went upstairs to the truck and just opened the driver's side, and it fell out on the ground. And I thought, man, God held that in my pocket, which was extremely loose, all during those 4 or 5 hours we were moving furniture in and out of the house and all that, and me around town and whatever. And it fell out of my pocket while I was driving back to the house, and went between the seat and the door. So, I mean, I just gave God the glory because I had no idea. And like I said, it could have fallen out anywhere, but he chose to leave it in my pocket, as loose as it was, until I sat down in the driver's side and it fell out between the door and the driver's seat. So I just really praise God for that. I mean, it was a big miracle to me, but you know, it was an answer to prayer also. And one other thing before I shut up, I had it's been about 40 years since my wife and I have been divorced, and about 28 years that I've been a Christian, and I've been praying for her all this time, and she doesn't really talk to me anymore. And we used to talk, you know, about the kids and stuff, but they're grown now. And I had bought a MP3 player of the Living Bible, which is almost like listening to a movie. I mean, it really holds your attention, and it helps you to remember things, you know, from the scriptures. I wanted to send it to her. In fact, I already have it packaged up and ready to go. And I had asked my daughter to have her call me because I wanted to tell her about it. But she told my daughter that, you know, you tell your dad I don't want to call. When I get ready to call, I will, and I've got a Bible. I don't need that. But yesterday, Connie called me, my daughter that I'm talking about, the youngest one. She was all upset because they've got their house up for sale, and all the papers have been signed and everything, but something came up that was holding things up, and she was afraid everything was going to fall through. And so she calls her mom. She's telling her about all this, you know, and so her mother says, "Why don't you call your dad?" You know, he'll calm you down, and he'll give you peace, and he'll make you feel better because he'll pray for you. And that really blessed me because, you know, I thought all this time that she wasn't paying attention, but, you know, for her to tell our daughter that, to call me, that was a real blessing to me. So God is working in her heart. So, you know, we don't want to give up on our loved ones. God's doing things. Anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your miracles.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Listen to this account of a praying minister. John G. Lake, one of my favorite men. He said, I was pastor of the Apostolic Tabernacle, Johannesburg, South Africa. The ministry of healing through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was one of the cardinal teachings of our organization. The sick were brought from all parts of the land. Thousands were healed through the prayer of faith and the laying on the hands of those who believed. Our church was then enjoying a great period of spiritual blessing and power. Various remarkable manifestations of the Spirit commonly occurred. How many of you want that? Various remarkable manifestations of the Spirit commonly occurred. At a Sunday service, before public prayer was offered, a member of the congregation arose and requested that the audience join in prayer on behalf of a cousin in Wales, 7,000 miles across the sea from Johannesburg, that she might be healed. He stated that the woman was violently insane and the inmate of an asylum in Wales. So I knelt on the platform to pray. An unusual degree of the spirit of prayer came upon my soul, causing me to pray with fervor and power. The spirit of prayer fell on the audience at the same time. The people ordinarily sat in their seats and bowed their heads while prayer was being offered. On this occasion, some 100 or more in different parts of the house knelt to pray with me. I was uttering the audible prayer, and they were praying silently. A great consciousness of the presence of God took possession of me. My spirit rose in a great consciousness of spiritual dominion. I felt for the moment as though I were anointed to cast out demons. My inner or spiritual eyes were opened. I could see in the spirit and observe that there was a shaft of seeming light accompanied by moving power coming from many of those who were praying. And as the prayer continued, these shafts of light increased in number. Each of them reached my own soul. Each brought an increasing impulse of spiritual power until I seemed nigh overcome by it. And while this was going on, I was uttering the words of prayer with great force and consciousness of spiritual power. Presently, I seemed out of the body and, to my surprise, observed that I was rapidly passing over the city of Kimberley. That was 300 miles from Johannesburg. The next consciousness was the city of Cape Town on the seacoast, 1,000 miles away. The next consciousness was the island of St. Helena, where Napoleon was banished, and then the Cape Verde Lighthouse on the coast of Spain came into view. By this time, it seemed as if I was passing through the atmosphere, observing everything, but moving with great lightning-like rapidity. I remember the passage along the coast of France, across the Bay of Biscay, and then into Wales. I had never been in Wales. It was new country to me. As I passed swiftly over the country, I said, these are like the hills of Wyoming along the North Dakota border. Shortly, a village appeared, nestled in a deep valley among the hills. Next, a public building that I recognized instinctively as the asylum. On the door, I observed an old-fashioned 16th century knocker. Its workmanship attracted my attention, and this thought flashed through my spirit. That undoubtedly was made by one of the old smiths who manufactured armor. So that's an old building. I was inside the institution without waiting for the doors to open, and present at the side of a cot on which lay a woman. Her wrists were strapped to the sides of the cot. Also, another strings above the knee, and a second over her breast. They were to hold her down. She was wagging her head and muttering. I laid my hands upon her head and with great intensity commanded in the name of Jesus Christ that the demon spirit possessed her be cast out and that she might be healed by the power of God. One or two, I observed a change coming over her countenance. It softened, and a look of intelligence appeared. Presently, her eyes opened, and she smiled up in my face, and I knew she was healed. I had no consciousness of return whatever. Instantly, I was aware that I was still kneeling in prayer and was conscious of all the surrounding environment of my church and service. 3 weeks passed when my friend who had presented the request for prayer came to me with a letter from one of his relatives stating that an unusual thing had occurred. Imagine that. Their cousin, who had been confined for 7 years in an asylum in Wales, suddenly became well. They had no explanation to offer. The doctor said it was one of those unaccountable things that sometimes happen. She was perfectly well and had returned to her friends. Praise God. That's what prayer does. It's powerful. You might find yourself floating around out there going somewhere and ministering to somebody in the spirit. How many of you like to do that? I would. I know David. David tells about the time that he went over into somewhere in Eastern Europe, preached in a building, a big old tall Gothic-like church building. Said it was full of folks, and they were expecting him, too. He said they were expecting me. He said that when I showed up there, they all went to hollering and praising God. And said he preached a message there. Don't have a clue as to what he preached because it was in their language. He didn't have the understanding. God didn't give him the understanding of what he was preaching. But when he preached it, he found himself back in bed again. Now, one of these days, somebody's going to show up and say, man, you was over there in whatever country it was. He don't even know what country it was. But he does know it was an Eastern European country, he believes. That's awesome to be able to, the Lord use you in a way like that. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to share or like to ask?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
I just wanted to stay on. Just praise the Lord a little bit. I've been going through a few things in my life, and so I asked the Lord to cleanse my heart. And He's been showing me little by little what was in my heart that I can get rid of it. So I'm just praising Him for that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Is this Matt?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for working in Matt's life, Lord, and cleaning him up and cleaning us up too. Thank you, Father, cleaning us all up for this great happening that's fixing to happen. Lord, just get us all ready, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask if there's anybody in this outreach, this fellowship here, and those that are listening, that you would place this hunger for prayer, place this hunger for you, Lord, to do what you want us to do, and that is to pray without ceasing, Father. Put that in our hearts, Lord. Put that hunger and that love for the brethren, Lord, to want to pray for them and to want to pray those prayers that you want us to pray, Father. Direct our lips, Lord, and pray through us for those things that we don't know about, but that you do. And when we pray in the Spirit, Lord, we know they're going to be answered too. In Jesus' name. One time we prayed for a lady down in Texas, and I didn't know her. Somebody had asked us to pray for her. We did. We had a little old Bible study group going at a church that I was attending at the time. And that's been many years ago. But anyway, she had terminal cancer. And word got back to us after we prayed for her that she was totally healed. You know, we got confirmations of that many times. And a lot of the ladies and men in there would cut up rags and we'd anoint them and pray over them and send them out to people. And people got healed. Their faith was there, you know. But we prayed over. We prayed all the time back then. And now we need to do it again. It's time to get ready. It's time to help out each other. It's time to pray for one another. You know, make a list of all the people that you know about in this fellowship here. And then pray for them. Pray in the Spirit for us. Pray in the Spirit for the whole conference call. Pray in the Spirit for me and David and the people here. We need it. Praise God. Amen. All right, anybody else? Charlie, you got anything you'd like to share? Okay. All right, anybody else? Andrew, you got anything you'd like to share, brother? Okay. Praise God. Well, it's been an interesting night. I was actually going to talk a little bit about end time stuff, but the Lord placed it on my heart to talk about prayer tonight and how the importance of it. It's real important, you know, as everybody knows. And I pray that we all would heed the word about praying and believe in our prayers. I've been reading a book on prayer. It's E.M. Bounds that collects all of his books on prayer. He wrote 8 books on it, and they got them in one volume. And it's a good book. It fired me up for wanting to pray more, and I've been doing that. And I praise God. That little man was a praying guy. You know, our prayers, you may not realize this, but prayers is my goodness, prayer with faith is powerful. Golly, it is so powerful. Man, we've seen prayer move snowstorms out of the way, tornadoes out of the way, lightning out of the way, varmints out of the way, faction out of the way. We've seen it, man. I tell you what, and I know prayer works. It not only an everyday part of our life. Who was it the other day that had problems with their vehicle and laid hands on it? And it started right up. Gosh, who was that? I don't remember right now, but somebody was telling about they were just stranded and they put the hand on the car and just commanded it to go and it started right up. Right then, didn't wait. I like it when it happens like that. Boy, that just boosts your faith up real quick. Anybody got anything they'd like to share tonight? We got a few minutes left, probably about 7-8 minutes left.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share a little bit. The Lord got me a job here. I'm really thankful for it. He's
good,
really blessed here.
Yeah, we're having trouble. We're having trouble hearing you. You got it on speakerphone or something?
I do have it on speakerphone.
Okay, that's better. No, that's better. Just get closer to it.
How's that?
That's much better.
Much better. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to share something because the Lord has really been He blessed me in getting a job, and He's been blessing me and. And just the little things, you know, and I've been working a lot, and, you know, I've been praying for strength and energy every day, and He gives it to me, and it's amazing, you know, and I pray for just even the little things, you know, because I'm a driver, and I got to deliver parts, and sometimes the lights are not exactly in your favor, so I pray for the lights, and majority of the time, they get answered almost immediately, the prayers for that. And this job has actually helped my prayer life and reading the Bible, because during my break, I'll take and read my Bible while I'm eating lunch. And I'll be praying when I'm out delivering parts, praying in the Spirit. It's really brought me a little closer to the Lord as far as... communicating, praying, and reading, and understanding, and it's really a blessing. And I thought, you know, getting a job would be kind of the opposite. You know, I wouldn't have as much time as I would like to be in the Word and praying. But no, it's just the opposite. I got probably 3 times as much time to pray and read, and I'm just praising the Lord, thanking Him for all He's done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm to be with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering all his prayers about them lights, too. Let him get his work done quick so he can get back into the Word. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I shared before about our little grandson getting healed in California, but... we kind of traced back, and they didn't think he was going to live at first. I mean, he was really in bad shape. They'd never seen anybody live that their heart had quit beating that long. And we kind of traced back over the time when finally they decided that he probably was going to live, and it really was when we had started praying. We had called a lot of the prayer warriors that we know, and Greg wasn't in Tennessee at that time yet, but we had called David, and we just called a lot of people that we knew to pray, and we kind of traced it back, and it was about the time when we started praying when they finally you know, decided, well, he is going to live, and then he turned out to be an absolute miracle.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, that just goes to show you that we need to be praying. You know, if you've got people in your life that are having a struggling time or something, you know, pray for them in the Spirit. Father, I don't know how to pray exactly for this. I know you do. Pray through me in the Spirit for these people. You know, that's what I do. And then I just pray, sometimes just hours on end, in the Spirit. We got a situation here that needs prayer. Another day, I went out for an hour and just walked and prayed. And I believe there's going to be a miracle there. I know there is, because we prayed and we believe. Praise God. All right. Anybody need prayer before we close tonight? Well, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift of prayer that you've given us, Father, that we can just ask you to do things, Lord, and believe, and you'll do it. the things, Lord, that we need to pray about. We know that we're praying in your will because we're in your will, Lord. I pray that, Father, that all of us are in your will, Lord. And we know that when we pray, that our prayers get answered. And Lord, give us a fervency in our prayer life. Give us a habitual fervency in our prayer life. Lord, wake us up early in the morning if we have to seek you and to ask your guidance for the day. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to do it. And Father, place it in our hearts to believe and to trust you that you're going to answer our prayers and that you would put us in the rest because we do trust you, Lord. And we have a rest. It makes no difference. All of the stuff that goes on around us, we can see absolute hell breaking out around us, but we're going to stay in the rest because we know we've prayed the prayer of faith and you're going to answer it. Lord, get us in that place, Father, to where doesn't make any difference what we see with our eyes. It doesn't make any difference what we hear with our ears. That we just believe because we prayed the prayer of faith. And Father, I just ask that you put the spirit of prayer and intercession on everybody here and everybody listening. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that you're such a gracious and merciful God for all of us, Lord, that you do have your intercessors. You do have your people, your true people of God that are praying constantly for all of us, Lord. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Father, give us a good night's sleep tonight. Give us dreams and visions of the things to come. And let us remember them so we can relate them. Because we know that there's a part here and this one has a part over here. And all the parts together, they form something. They form what you want to tell us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And I ask that you bless everybody here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints, and God bless you.